So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and we will also get into 2 Peter in this study. We started out about living in hope. And then we went to living in holiness. And then we went to living in love. And tonight we'll talk about living as stones. So last week we went through 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 through chapter 2 verse 3. And the issue is living in love means that we need to live in Christ Jesus, mean to live in His love. So living in Christ means to be living in His love. In verses 22 and 23, we see a command that we need to live in love. It is a sign of obeying God's truth. When we live in love, other people will know us. It says, hereby we know that we have the love of God in us when we love the brother. Hereby ye know, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. It should be sensed by others in the body of Christ in verse 22. And then lastly, the ability for us to love is sourced by the Word of God. Basically, you can't love unless you know Jesus. You can't know Jesus unless you know the Word of God. And so we need to live in love. In verses 24 of chapter 1 through the first verse of chapter 2, we need to lay aside the things that would prevent us from living in love. We need to lay aside things that hinder us in our spiritual walk in light of our time on earth. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We do not know how long we have. James 4:14 says that our life is like a vapor. We need to lay aside all things that hinder us in our spiritual walk in light of God's word. So we need to look into the perfect law of liberty. We need to keep on doing it and not be a forgetful hearer. And then we need to live in love and lay aside in light of our own nature. In verse 1 it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So we need to live in love, we need to lay aside, and then the last thing is we need to long for God's word. It should be an insatiable desire, just like a child, a baby who wants to be fed. It will let you know that it wants to be fed. And we need to have that insatiable desire for God's word. Job says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And it can only come from the heart. It needs to be an indwelt desire. In verse 3 it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So last week we talked about living in love. We need to live in love. We need to lay aside. And we need to long for God's word. So tonight we need to talk about living as stones. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 through 10. And the thought that we need to understand here is that living in Christ means living as He lived. In verses 4 to 6, we see the significance of living stones. And this issue is that the first living stone was basically Christ, because He is going to be the foundation, He's going to be the cornerstone of our faith. In verse 4, we see that the significance of living stones, or being a living stone, is that we are selected by God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed, indeed a man, but chosen of God and precious. Now this issue about being selected by God, God doesn't want any to perish. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all to come to repentance, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so to be selected by God, we need to come to Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that what? Cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you can't be in Christ unless you come to Christ. And if you are in Christ, God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, but He gives everybody a choice. We need to be selected by God by considering Him. We need to consider His way. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." So, you won't come to God unless you consider Him. And you need to consider Christ's way. Now also here in verse 4 it says, "But chosen of God," that's Christ, we're chosen of God through Christ, "and precious." We need to consider His worth. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 through 46, Christ tells a parable. He starts that chapter with the parable of the seed and the sower. Then He talks about the wheat and the tares. And then He goes about the a parable of leaven, that it leavens everything. And here it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found what? One pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus Christ should be the most precious thing in our life. More precious than rubies, more precious than gold. So, the significance of being a living stone is that we are selected by God. And we come to Him and we consider His way and we consider His work. The next thing about being a living stone is that we are built up to be a spiritual building. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones." Now, it might be a better translation to say, "as living stones." There has to be a change from being dead to being alive. Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, the spiritual building is one that is living and not dead. When John the Baptist was preaching beyond Jordan, before he proclaims that Christ is the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, the Pharisees were coming to him. And he tells them, he says, "You've got to bring forth fruits meet for repentance." Now the Pharisees were all tied up in their religious identity and their religious heritage or their pedigree. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, John the Baptist says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Abraham is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So, you can't be a spiritual building if you're dead. And so, we need to be living stones. The second thing is of the spiritual building in verse 5, is that we need to be lifted up. It says, "Build up a spiritual house." We're lifted up to be a house. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple into the Lord." If we don't do it God's way, if we don't have Him as our foundation, if we don't let Him set the limits, we will not be fitted together. Some of you probably have built walls or built sheds or something like that, and if you don't do it right, when you put everything together and try to tie walls together, you find out that you could be several inches short. There's not enough caulk to fix that. But when God does something, He does it right. He says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So there's an external sign of the building because we're being built up internally. So a spiritual building is that we need to be living and not dead. We need to be lifted up to be a house. And the second thing is, we need to be lifted up to be holy and acceptable. It says here in verse 5, it says that we're supposed to be a royal priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not the physical, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We need to be holy and honorable. A couple of weeks ago, we went through 1 Peter in chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, and there's a commandment that God gives Peter that we need to follow. But as he, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We need to be like Christ. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The significance of living stones is that we are selected by God. We are a spiritual building. And then verse 6 talks about our security in Christ. It says here, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded could also be interpreted as being ashamed. God will never let you down. We've all been let down by people in our family, by people at work, by our friends, but God will never let us down. Because he is where everything is based off of. Our lives need to be centered on Christ. Our families need to be centered on Christ. Our church needs to be centered on Christ. And if we did what we're supposed to, our nation could be centered on Christ. So, Peter is quoting here Isaiah 28, verse 16. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So in verses 4 to 6, we see the significance of being a living stone. In verses 7 and 8, we see strength and unity with Christ. And it still has this analogy of being a foundation or being built on a rock. It says here in verses 7 and 8, it says, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What we need to understand is our strength is in unity with Christ. There is one God, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. We need to have a steadfast foundation exposed. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. A lot of people don't believe, and therefore Christ is not precious. Therefore, he's not the cornerstone in their life. Therefore, they're going their own way. In the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of that, Christ is telling a metaphor or a story about building and what kind of foundation you need to build. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we know the rest of that part. It says, and the storms came. You're not stopping the storms, but you can have God with you through the storms. And as the storms come, which we had the other night, if you're on a sure foundation and your house is fitted together nicely by God, you can withstand the storm. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He who winneth souls is wise. which built his house upon a rock. We need to build our house on Jesus. We need to build our lives on him. He is the foundation of our faith. So we see that there's a steadfast foundation exposed. Our walk and our lifestyle should show that we believe on Jesus Christ. Secondly, there's a supportive community enabled. It says, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We're all part of the building. We all need to be fitted together. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, strength and unity with Christ means that we need to have a steadfast foundation exposed in our life, and that foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. We need to be able to build on this. We build up a spiritual house. We build up a building. You start from the ground floor and you go up. And we will support one another in that building program spiritually. Lastly, there is a surrendered walk experience. It says, but unto you which believe, not everybody believes. The Bible says that not every man has faith. And if we don't surrender, then Christ becomes a stumbling block. In verse 8, it says that it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the what? At the word, being disobedient. Whereunto they were appointed. The Jews were appointed to listen to God's word. They were supposed to understand the prophecies. But we need to understand this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Christ is talking about himself. And he says, I am the cornerstone. And he says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. We need to be broken. We need to be surrendered to him. In Daniel, it talks about one of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He says that there's a stone that comes down from heaven and it breaks apart it hits the feet and the legs of the king, and the whole statue that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream fell apart. And he said that the stone came from heaven. It's talking about Christ. It says that whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall or fall on, it will grind him to powder. Tonight, you need to surrender to Christ. If not, you will stumble at Christ, you will fall, and then you will be ground to powder. So there is a significance of the living stones. Then you see, we see the strength and unity with Christ. And lastly, in verses 9 and 10, we see a shared identity as a spiritual nation. Not a physical nation, not a heritage nation, but a spiritual nation. The shared identity as a spiritual nation is that we are a special people. In verse 9 it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's light. There are several things that we see here. First of all, what makes you a special people? You are special when you have accepted Christ. You are a chosen generation. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. So the first way we are a special people as a spiritual nation is that we have accepted Christ. We are a special people in a spiritual nation because we are adopted by Christ. It says that we are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. We have been changed from an identity that was away from God into being an heir to the throne and also priest. That is a symbol of being adopted. And we are adopted by Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, it says this. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You need to understand that you are special to God. We are a value of many sparrows. And if children, then heirs. Heirs talks about our royalty. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we have shared identity as a spiritual nation because we are a special people who have accepted Christ. We are a special people who are adopted by Christ. And then thirdly, we are a special people who are acknowledged by Christ. It says here that we are a holy nation. God acknowledges those things that are holy and a peculiar people because we're not like the world. We are a new creature in Christ. And we are acknowledging Christ as being someone different. If people can't see through your life and through your actions that you're a Christian, there's something missing. It could be Christ. It could be Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Christ said, if your eye be single, then your whole body will be full of light. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be the salt of the earth. Our speech should be seasoned with grace because we're special people. We've accepted Christ. We've been adopted by Christ. We should be acknowledged in Christ. And then lastly, we're special people who acclaim Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It says here in verse 9, it says, "A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We need to come out of the dark and walk in the light of God's Word. So we have a shared identity as a spiritual nation because we are a special people. Secondly, we have a shared identity as a spiritual nation because we are a spiritual people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Which in time past were not a people." Christ made the promises to Israel. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And now, those who were outside are now grafted in. The Gentiles are now God's people. And even though there are still promises to Israel, and they are still God's chosen people from the Old Testament, we are His chosen people also. It says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy." Think of the Old Testament and think of how many times Israel attained the mercy of God. Think of the Old Testament and think of how many times those who were not of the nation of Israel did not receive the mercy of God, but now have obtained mercy. We are a spiritual people by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, it says that At the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You cannot accept Christ. You cannot be adopted by Christ. You cannot acknowledge Christ in your life. You cannot sing the praises of Christ unless you know the blood of Christ. We are blood bought by Him. We are not our own. We're His. And so we're a spiritual people by the blood of Christ. Secondly, we're a spiritual people by the mercies of God. It says here in verse 10, it says, but now the people of God. How are you a person of God? By the blood of Christ that He sacrificed on the cross, which did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're a spiritual people by the mercy of God. Paul talks about this difference between the Gentiles and Israel, and talks about that salvation is universal, and that the Jews rejected Christ. In Romans chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, it says, even us, whom He had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As He has said in Hosea, actually He's talking about Hosea here. And if you look in Hosea chapter 1, we see these verses. He says, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. We need to sit back and think of the mercy of God, that He would save a wretch like me. I am so glad that He's not exclusive. But God is all inclusive. And it says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And we go back to this whole thing about being a lively stone, and that Christ is the living stone. He's the cornerstone of our life. So as I close today, we need to think of this. We need to be a living stone and not a dead rock. There's a lot of rocks out there right now. We need to be a chip off the block. We need to be a chip off of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, for Your precious promises. We thank You, Lord, for the change that You made in our lives. Changed us from dead rocks to living stones. And Lord, I pray that we could just continue, and that You would encourage us, and You would empower us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to You, that's acceptable to You, based on Your blood and Your mercy and what You've done for us and Your love. Lord, I pray if there's someone who does not know You as Savior, that today, as they hear this message, as they study Your Word, they would realize their need for salvation, their need for heaven, and they would come and repent and understand what You did on the cross was for them. Father, for us, help us, Lord, to not be rock-headed, but let us, Lord, be tender-hearted towards You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.